Hi everyone, it's Tim Emerson from Kuan Yin Healing, and today I'm talking to Lev Natan of The Medicine Tree. Lev, I've known Lev for a while. He's a fascinating guy. Lev's work revolves around networks of connection to build resonance and coherence in our work lives and communities. He values meaningful conversations that inspire us to be accountable to our most precious commitments, and he is committed to stewardship of life to create safety for future generations. So what brings him here? Well, Lev utilizes sound therapy, as well as leadership coaching, to create a fertile environment for his clients to access their deeper intelligence and creative imagination to effectively navigate life, relationships, career, and health in this time of accelerated complexity. He works with activists, social impact entrepreneurs, holistic practitioners, organizational leaders, and people who care deeply about humanity and the earth, and who are looking to create more effective, meaningful, and lucrative ways of bringing their mission to life. So, as I mentioned, Lev is the founder of The Medicine Tree and the Sound Leadership Network, and he's the author of the forthcoming book, Return to the Medicine Trees, A Vision of Sound Leadership for Global Coherence. He's currently enrolled in a master's degree in organizational leadership for his own continuing growth and development. And today, Lev is going to talk about centering with sound and intention, a great topic. So, Lev, are you there?
Here I am, Tim. I really appreciate being here. I'm excited to talk about this topic and really excited about this incredible seminar that you put together.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to have you here. So, let's start right off with people might be wondering, how do I use sound and intention for emotional challenges?
Yes. So I like to just start with understanding what are emotional challenges. Let's just get on the same page here. And
okay, great.
It's funny, as I was organizing my thoughts for this talk, you know, I went through the practice. What is it that I'm going to teach in terms of a modality that's effective for emotional challenges? And then I got into the theory behind it. And then at the end, I thought, well, what is it that we're actually dealing with? And I thought, oh, actually, I should start with that, because that's the whole point, is that's where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. So it's good. So emotional stress and anxiety, right? Depression, sadness. In my perspective, in my own personal experience, my own struggles, and in my work with clients, I see that the emotional challenges that we have are a function of feeling powerless or hopeless in the face of change. Either we are needing to change, or there's change that's being forced upon us, in a sense, from our outside environment. You know, it's kind of the chicken and the egg. It's a feedback loop. Change is always happening in our lives, and emotional stress and challenge is the turbulence that comes from how do you adapt to that change. So when we engage in our faculty of choice, when we're in the driver's seat, so to speak, we feel empowered to change and adapt to the change that's happening in our life, in our situations, which changes our feeling state, our emotional state. So for me, that's the fundamental reality, right? That and if you think about it, right, many of the wisdom traditions and psychology, our modern psychology, specifically positive psychology, is all about understanding how do we navigate change in life, because that's the only constant. Change is the only thing that doesn't change, right? It's kind of a play on words in a sense, but life is always changing, right? There's that teaching, you know, that you can't step into the same river twice, because the river is always flowing and life is always flowing. And so that really gets, if we take a step back, into worldviews, And what lens are we looking at our life through?
Well, let me ask you a question about that quickly before you go on. I want to make sure I understand kind of where you're coming from here. And if I understand you correctly, it's something analogous to when I was in college dealing all kinds of stress. There, I had an aha moment when I realized I instead of feeling like I'm just a leaf being blown around by the wind, if I in fact surrender, which at first seems like I'm more powerless, actually it meant I could start to align with the wind and instead and have some impact in where that leaf went. That actually giving up was a way to actually find power. Is that close to where you're talking about?
That's a beautiful analogy. You know, and you can take that analogy, you know, where that's, in a sense, engaging that element of the wind, right? The flowing of the wind. And then, you know, if you think about being in a river, which is, you know, similar metaphor, if we're tight, you know, and scared, chances are, you know, and we're flowing down that river, it's going to be hard for us to respond effectively. You know, there's a rock over there and a stick, but if we relax our body, not just completely collapsed, but we relax our body enough to be present to what's going on as we flow, then is a lot better chance that we're not going to get hurt. And now as we talk, I'm starting to get ideas around martial arts, actually, and Tai Chi and Qigong, and many of the martial arts are talking about having a firm structure, you know, but relaxed. So to be alert, but relaxed. It's an in-between place. Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought when you were just saying that. In Tai Chi, we call it Sung. It's a state of being both completely relaxed and completely aware.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's obviously an ideal state. That's the state that we're going for. That's the vision of mastery, so to speak, of our emotional challenges. You know, that's when we're actually rising to the occasion and doing the things that inspire people, right? But that's a lifelong pursuit, and it goes up and down. Sometimes, you know, we're heroic, and sometimes we fall down. And so the question is, there's all these practices to practice developing that mastery of our emotional states, not to master, like to dominate, but to be in a mutually beneficial relationship with our emotions so that we can channel the energies that are moving through us towards personal fulfillment and bringing positive energy and relatedness to our web of relationships and our surroundings.
Lev, so what do you think keeps us from doing that? You know, it's this state of relaxed awareness. You know, anyone who's ever seen a cat, you know, watching a mouse behind the stove or something, you know, that cat will stay there perfectly alert and perfectly calm for hours. So, you know, this is, and it doesn't take an enlightened Zen master to pull that off, and it's something any cat can do. You know, we have trouble with that. What gets in our way?
Well, I mean, to be a little bit humorous, but also serious, you know, how many lifetimes did that cat have to go through to get to be a cat? You know, in other words, a cat is quite a high level of intelligence in terms of embodied intelligence, presence. I'll take a step back. Two things about our life in this modern world that are very related. One is we've moved away from valuing embodied intelligence. And here we are on our computers and our training in school from very young is visual and reading and intellectual. And, you know, we have gym once a week, you know, growing up in grade school. So were not trained very much with a value on embodied intelligence. And sports are really important, but you know, the martial arts and that kind of focus on awareness in the body is not something that's common in our culture. You have to kind of look for it. It's there for sure. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that's connected to not having that embodied intelligence and presence in the present moment that comes with that embodiment is what I started with, this emotional stress and anxiety. And, you know, it starts out, well, it's hard to say how it starts, but it builds through the, you know, corrosive and erosive, you know, experience of life. You know, life is stressful, especially in urban environments. And so little by little, there's a feeling, of powerlessness and hopelessness that can start to get embedded into our psyche, into our whole being and our way of looking at life, that really, well, we don't have as much power to change or to choose what it is that we want our lives to look like and to feel like and what we want to be doing with our days. And that's really at the core of what makes us happy or not, that we get to choose. I want to get up at a certain time. I want to feel rested. I want to choose what kind of food I want to eat and, you know, what I want to do from moment to moment. And then if we expand that out, what do I want to do in terms of interacting with others and being in community and being of service to the world? How do I want to do that in the world? That's really, I think, at the core of what gives us a feeling of empowerment and confidence. And so then the inverse of that is a feeling of stress and anxiety that I don't have control, or I don't have a say in what I want to create in my life. So that's why I, in my work, in my belief system of, you know, how I want to be of service in the world, it's really about a sense of life purpose and service in the world that I want to support others to be really powerfully connected to. Because from that place, if someone really connects to that sense of purpose, I feel like it has this tremendous ripple effect through their entire life in four dimensions, in every direction, you know, relationships, health, self-esteem, of course, work and, you know, capacity to make a livelihood that's aligned. All aspects, when we really get connected to that sense of, this is why I'm here, you know, this is who I am, this is why I'm here, and this is what I'm going to do about it, then the emotional challenges kind of, you know, work themselves out in a certain level. Or another way of saying that is our desire to contribute and to follow our purpose and to, you know, carry that out in the world becomes more engaging and powerful than the emotional challenges. And so we become more resilient and our capacity to adapt to the changes grows. So when we have a situation, and I can speak from personal experience, you know, absolutely, of feeling depressed and feeling extreme anxiety in my nervous system, in my body, and feeling like the things that I want to create in my life, I'm not able to. I'm feeling hopeless or powerless. And then going through a process of using lots of different tools, and sometimes those are just periods of life that we need to go through, but we develop skills through going into those challenging places to then find that capacity to respond. So all of that is, you know, kind of the context for the particular practice and way of thinking that we're going to engage with.
That's really clear. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that's clear. I keep working on it. So, shall we keep going?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So, just to highlight that and then move forward, feeling empowered to direct and author, to be the author of our life, is really the taproot of our emotional strength and resilience. And so we want to create a feedback loop in our lives that is strengthening that feeling of empowerment and authorship, as opposed to allowing that feedback loop to atrophy and to get brittle, and to feel like, you know, the thoughts in our minds that say, well, actually, I don't really have control. There's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
That's a thought process, a thought pattern that is going to atrophy our emotional strength and resilience. So that's the theory, right, behind the practice. And then another just principle of theory in scientific terms that I want to start with and communicate from the beginning before we get into the practice, which is really easy practice. Anyone can do it. Is in scientific terms, right? We have the left brain and the right brain. You know, neurologists and brain science talks about this left brain and the right brain. And the left brain is responsible for our cognitive function. Right now, we're speaking and the left brain is lighting up for the most part because you're listening to language and you're trying to understand what that language means. So that's the left brain. You know, numbers, language, directions, things that you need to do in this world to function, that's the left brain. The right brain is what's responsible for our visionary, creative, and imaginative functions. So when we take a break and we meditate and we imagine what we want to do for vacation in 6 months, or we daydream, or when we're dreaming at night, also, the brain waves that are most active are associated with the right brain. So I just wanted to make that distinction and then also show that they work together, right? That there's a dichotomy that's often discussed, like, oh, I'm more left brain, I'm more right brain. But I think I know for myself and what I'm excited about in sharing with my clients, and then I feel like what's happening, there's a movement really right now of integration that's happening in our world between science and spirituality, you know, holistic medicine, you know, what we're doing here, what you're doing, Tim. It's all of a movement towards integrating our practical mind and rational mind of what we can see and touch and how to plan effectively for a very complex world, and then the intuitive and visionary, creative and imaginative consciousness that is associated with the right brain. So left and right brain dichotomy that we're integrating through this practice.
I really appreciate that that point, Lev. It reminds me of someone asked Eckhart Tolle, how does he work when he's, you know, lives in this enlightened land? And he says, I alternate back and forth every couple minutes. And, you know, lest that sound like something glib, as a Taoist Zen scholar, there's one of the key Zen monks that goes back to the 13th century. He talks about exactly the same thing. that the world and existence is about oscillating between the two of those. And so is it, the question is, you know, is this the real world, and or is it an illusion, and there's another world back behind? And it's like the question doesn't actually make sense. We go back and forth between those two. So I really appreciate your point about the two brains, and that it's not one or the other, but rather it's we're checking in with both to really be effective.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for affirming that and then giving even more context to it. So let's go into the practice of centering with sound and intention.
Awesome.
And I want to also introduce the word coherence. We could actually even add that to the title as we evolve here. Maybe I'll create that new title. But centering is another way of saying we're creating coherence in our whole being, right? There's an incredible resource called the Institute of Heart Math that's done incredible amount of research over really decades, I think 30 years of research around establishing heart coherence. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, done reading. I'm not certified in their method, but I think there's many methods of establishing this heart coherence, and it's starting with the heart and then moving into the mind, the brain, and establishing that coherence between the heart and the mind. And then really that creates coherence in your whole physical being, your body, and your nervous system.
I actually have one of their tools, Lev. And it measures your heart rate, but it also your pulse rate, but it also measures the regularity of it. And it has green and yellow and red lights depending on where you are. And the goal is not simply to slow your heart, but to have a consistent regular heartbeat. And that's how they define coherence in that sense. And it's amazingly hard to do. It's a really good focus. But I know there are people who will take that into a meeting, you know, because it's really small. It's easy to use. And they can measure whether or not they're keeping their balance or whether they're getting off balance.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, exactly. It's a biofeedback mechanism that gives us that that outer feedback to see where am I. And then I think it's a great tool to then develop that awareness within ourselves, you know, that you can actually even take your own pulse eventually and see, oh, I'm a little bit, you know, tight. And we can also, with the more that we engage with these kinds of body and energy practices, we can really feel when we're either too tight or too loose. And so let's just move in to this sound practice, and we'll continue to talk and explore as we engage with this practice. So I have this book sitting in front of me that I'm really excited about. It's called The Humming Effect, Sound Healing and Health for Health and Happiness, by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman, that's his wife, forwarded by John Bellew, who's one of my core teachers of tuning forks and sound healing. And it's a very new book. I think it just came out this year in 2017. And it's really an incredible contribution to this field of sound and you know, holistic medicine. Because humming is the first practice that we're going to do together. And it unlocks humming and toning the vowel sounds, which is what this is. That's the whole practice. And then using intention with the toning and the vibration unlocks what a colleague of mine said, this internal medicine chest that we have of our biochemistry, that vibration, positive healing vibration, unlocks the biochemistry that gives us a feeling of well-being. You know, the serotonin, those chemicals that allow us to feel a sense of well-being. And that's what it does on a biochemical level. And emotionally, there's this clearing that happens, this movement of our emotion, our stress, our anxiety, the depression, the sadness. I've heard it many times said that emotions are energy in motion. And when the energy is not in motion, and we have that, that's when we move towards depression and the anxiety. And we have anxiety and it doesn't have a place to move. It doesn't have, we go do exercise or, an emotional release experience, then we don't have that capacity to move through it into other states. So there's that level on a very physical and physiological level that this is working. And then it also stimulates our creative right brain, mental and imaginative capacities to then open up to new possibilities and a greater spectrum of choice in our life, which is what we started with, right? That emotional challenge is really about this spectrum of choice being limited, that we have a myopic focus. And then using sound, that spectrum of choice expands dramatically and new possibilities open up, and then we can navigate through whatever issues that didn't seem like it was possible. And then there's possibility for well-being. So let's just go right into some practice. How does that sound? And then we can talk more after.
That sounds great, Lev.
Okay, great. So the first step before we actually make sound is to prepare ourselves to listen to the sound. As you mentioned, this organizational leadership program that I'm in, that last class, the teacher asked me specifically, did you grow up feeling like people didn't hear you? And I did have that experience. And he said, when you feel like people aren't hearing you, it's important, to listen even more to yourself and to others, right? Even listen to yourself. If you feel like others aren't hearing you, listen to yourself, the words that you're speaking. So I thought that was really beautiful. It just came to mind. So we prepare ourselves to listen just with taking some deep breaths and moving into the silence and moving into our body awareness. So we take a deep breath, inhaling deeply into our belly, big Buddha belly breath, and then also filling up the lungs all the way to the top of the shoulders in every direction, even into our back, expanding the whole torso, and then releasing with a sigh. And if you'd like, we're going to do two more breaths like that. You can close your eyes. It gives you a more capacity to focus, inhaling. And you can also roll your shoulders and your spine and your hips and your wrists. Just roll your neck and relaxing. And then one more deep breath. Inhaling, you can stretch your arms, just like kind of waking up in the morning, letting your body move naturally and filling yourself with oxygen. And I invite you to keep your eyes closed, if that's comfortable for you to do. And as I said, we're going to start with humming, because that's very grounding to start with humming. So what we do is, very simple. The only refinement that I'm going to offer towards, you know, what babies do and all of us do when we're humming a song is bringing a little bit of more structure to your lips, a little more firmness to your lips, like puckering, like you're sucking out of a straw. And that creates an experience that you'll see. You can experiment with relaxing your lips and then puckering them, that the vibration actually travels through the face and through your body with a little more strength. So you kind of just pucker the lips and then take the same kind of deep breath into your belly and lungs and just let go and hum. Going to do that two more times, really looking into your body. Where do you feel the vibration? Inhaling. From the top of your head all the way through your body, what the impact is, your physical body, emotions, your mind, and even your spirit. Inhaling one more time. And now just taking another deep breath and exhaling. And so if you just learned that and nothing else today, that's a tremendous practice. One of my sound teachers gives that practice to do every day for 10 minutes in the morning when you wake up. And it builds an incredible capacity for emotional strength and resilience. It builds the strength of your nervous system. And it also builds the confidence in your voice, the resonance, the sound of your voice. And that has a cascading effect, a domino effect of creating more confidence and centeredness and mental clarity, emotional stability in your life, which then has all sorts of other beneficial effects. So just that humming practice with puckered lips, you could do, take one breath before, like you mentioned, a business meeting, go to the bathroom, inhale, deep breath, exhale, another inhale, exhale a hum, and then another deep breath. And that's going to do something really potent in terms of centering you. The more that you do, obviously, the more powerful and deep the sense of centeredness and grounding becomes. It's cumulative. You know, if you did 3 breaths or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then each and every day as you build that kind of resonant practice, that experience of centeredness grows in your life. So we're going to continue, unless you have anything to say, Tim.
I was just going to add that I actually use a process that's almost exactly this one. For those, this rarely happens to me anymore, but if you wake up in the morning and you've got a sore throat, and of course you've got a busy day ahead of you, this is one of the things I do to cure it right there early in the day before I start my day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we move into the vowel sounds, jumping a little bit ahead, the E sound in particular, E is very effective with sinus issues. runny nose in the winter. That really breaks up, sinus issues. So it's all, you use the humming, and then now we're going to open the mouth, actually. And there's a whole spectrum of sound with the way that we open the mouth, that connects with different parts of the body. So the humming is really a panacea, is the way that I see it. And then when we open the mind, we actually open the body too, and to focus on different parts of the body. So ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So now I'm going to introduce the vowel sounds. Very simple, but very powerful and very ancient. Very old practice. We're going to just do six vowel sounds, starting with the oo, o, a, e, I. And then that's five vowel sounds. And then I use aum, A-U-M, from the Sanskrit, A-U-M, to integrate all of those sounds if we do the practice as a whole. And the oo sound is associated with the lower part of the body, the root, our tailbone and our perineum, our connection with the earth. The O sound is connected with the dantian, or the hara that's Chinese and yogic traditions, respectively. We could just also say the sexual center in the West. And then the ah sound is associated with the solar plexus and the heart, especially the heart. The a sound connects to the throat, and the e sound, as I said, connects to the brain and the face, and also the top of the head. Brings in energy and opens our connection to the top of the head. So I like to do all of those sounds all together, starting with humming and then going through all those sounds. And then, as I said, completing with the aum, A-U-M. And it's amazing. You can do this whole practice once you start getting used to it in, 3 to 5 minutes. I do two breaths of each sound, but you can also just do them individually. Last year, I was actually going through some significant emotional turmoil in my life, and I had a teacher tell me to just work with the ah sound, and I worked just with the ah sound for 6 months. I would do the ah sound for 30 minutes, just like, jump into the ocean of the ah sound. And so that's for healing the heart and emotional pain incredibly powerfully. Just really a valuable tool. So you don't have to do them all together. You can just focus on one of the sounds. Like I said, you could just use the humming. But it's nice to really, as a tune-up to do every day for 3 to 5 minutes, it's an incredible centering practice. So let's jump in here. We'll start with the oo sound, and we'll do that twice each, and then I'll just guide you through all of these sounds. And then at the end of the sounds, we'll just go right into connecting with intention. In a sense, we're clearing ourselves. And wherever you are right now, you might be listening to this, and you might be in significant emotional stress, anxiety, challenge, turmoil. There might be something that's, has a hold of you that's really hard to let go. And in a sense, that's a really good test of this practice. Give it a try, see what effect it has. If you're not in that state right now, in this moment, imagine you know, think of a time that you were in that state, or just, you know, have it, you know, have this as a tool on your tool belt. And the practice of vibrating our body, as I've been saying, and tuning our different energy centers, you know, our root connection, our sexual creative center, our power and our heart center, our expression center through our throat and our brain, our visionary and guidance portals, so to speak, in our body. When we clear those through the expression of these sounds without words, just the pure movement of sound, which we'll talk more about after we do the practice, it gives us a clean slate. So if it's like taking a shower, an energy shower, you know, sometimes you feel gunky and, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have crust in your eyes. It's like that, on an energy and emotional and mental level. It gives us a restart button, to then experience our intentionality in our life. What do we really want? Yeah, I was stuck in a pattern. Maybe I got into an argument with my wife or a business partner, or even it was a challenging client, or just really stressful day at the whole day at work, or just one thing after the other. You know, what's it called? A traffic jam. You know, and my head's tied in knots. All of these things. We can use this to reset, to untie the knots, to give ourselves compassion, to create perspective. And then once we go through this whole process of resetting and retuning ourselves to that state that we were talking about, where we're awake, we're alert, but we're relaxed. That's where we're going with this practice, to that state of alertness, that Tai Chi, Taoist, you know, master state in a micro dose, you know, that's where we're going. And from that state, which we can get there, like I said, in 3 to 5 minutes, relatively speaking, certainly a lot more than before we do the practice, if we're in a stressed state, then we have this clean slate and this centered coherence in our whole being, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, to say, what is my intention? You know what? Maybe I want to go back out and say, I'm sorry to my wife. I didn't mean to raise my voice. I got carried away. And we can create a new vision for moving forward that's creating more harmony in our own lives and in our relationships. So that's the whole shtick here. That's the whole idea. That's why this is valuable in my mind, and why others, I think, also find value in it. So just with that, let's take a deep breath, inhaling and exhaling the ooh sound, connecting, yeah, just the next exhale and then an ooh sound, inhaling and focusing on our root, our connection with the earth. Visualize that root all the way to the center of the earth from your tailbone. One more time. Inhaling. We're going to go right to the O sound in the belly. O. Really focusing on the belly, inhaling, exhaling the O sound. O. Oh. inhaling, moving your attention to the heart, the ah sound. Inhaling, again, the ah sound, releasing, opening from the heart. Inhaling, and focusing on the throat, the A sound, a little bit higher tone. Inhaling again. Inhaling, and now focusing at the top of the head with the E sound, again a little bit higher with the tone even. Again, one more time. Inhaling, exhaling, AUM, Aum, to integrate all of the sounds in the body. One more time. In a deep breath, inhaling, and gently releasing. And taking two more intentional breaths. Again, you can move the body a little bit, the spine gently, the shoulders, the neck, the hips, the wrists. And then bringing your right hand to your heart and your left hand to your belly. Just holding yourself. And feeling yourself breathe. You can even do this while we're doing those vowel sounds as well. You can put your hands on your body to feel the vibration as well. But certainly afterwards with the intention part. Really connect with ourselves in that intimate way, personal way with ourselves, and moving into connection with our heart, deep in the center point of our being. If you feel into your heart, your emotional, your energetic heart, that's right in the center of your being. The physical heart's a little bit to the left of our body, but the emotional energy heart's right in the middle, that center point of our intelligence, our deep wisdom. And I believe it's also that place in our being where we feel our sense of purpose, our purposefulness in the world, that actually I am here for a reason in this world. Despite all appearances, sometimes I get those thoughts that my life is meaningless or I'm just a cog in a wheel. When I recenter myself in this place, do the sound practice, and I connect to my own sense of truth that connects to the worldview that I truly believe, which is that each one of us is here for a reason. And I can feel that truth in my heart. And then I can extrapolate that truth by connecting my feeling, that warmth, like a candlelight in my heart, that fire, that inner fire. And I see that in my heart, and then I see it burning in you, Tim, and in all human beings, all living beings, that unique purpose that we each have individually, and then collectively, we have a collective purpose here, burns there. And so that's that center point of intention that we can reset to. Who am I really? I'm a purposeful being embedded in a web of relationships with all of the human family and all of the living beings, my family of animals and plants and all living beings here on this beautiful planet. That's who I am. And why am I here? I'm here to be connected, to be in relationship, to be of service, and to enjoy myself while I do that, to be happy, to have meaning and purpose, and to contribute. And then how am I going to do that? So right now, in this moment, whatever is going on in my life, first of all, what am I grateful for in this moment? There might be challenges, but what am I grateful for? So that's the intention that we emerge with, is gratitude. I'm grateful for this conversation, being able to share my gifts. I'm grateful for this water, that I clean water, pure water that I get to drink, this apple that's a local apple. It's sitting on my desk. I'm going to eat it after we talk. Grateful for my home, my wife that I love. Grateful for this network of people, Tim, and so many more people that I know that are doing good work in the world that is contributing to the healing and transformation of our world, and so on and so forth. And then I move into vision. What's my vision for my own life? First, to do my work, to have a beautiful home, to have a good relationship with my wife and with my family and my friends and community, to be of service to clients and to be in creative relationship with colleagues. And then what's my vision for the world? That the work that I do is contributing to the development of a coherent, resonant field of coherence, to use that word twice, but this resonant field of coherence that is being established through our collective work in the world, greater stability and harmony, in spite of all of the chaos and in the imbalance. I'm contributing. I'm choosing to be a part of that infrastructure of stability and coherence, harmony, joy, and beauty. So that's my vision for myself and the world. And then what are my goals that practically emerge out of that vision? To develop my work, to create a home with my wife, to be in relationship with my community, so on and so forth. Specific, what's called SMART goals. SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound goals. And then from there, I reflect on what have I already done in the last day, in the last week, in the last month to move me in the direction, in alignment, in integrity with my goals and my vision and the things that are most important to me. So I celebrate that, yes, I have effort. I'm making effort, good, positive effort towards the things that I care about. And then I look towards, well, what are my priorities moving forward? If I did something that, you know, wasn't my best, if I wasn't my best today or yesterday, you know, I said the wrong thing to my wife or to my client, a priority would be rectifying that, forgiving, saying I'm sorry, asking for forgiveness. And I can do that now because I have that clean slate heart connection where I can see underneath the levels of anger, hurt, pain, sadness, and get to the truth of it and say, you know what? I want to be in harmony. I want to be in a creative, positive, constructive movement in my life. So why don't I cut to the chase and prioritize harmonious relationships with myself or with others? You know, and if I'm not ready for that, what's the first step? I need to take care of myself. I need to talk to a therapist, a coach. I need to go for a walk. I need to eat something. I need to take a nap. I need to take care of myself. Prioritize self-care. And then from there, what's next today? What's my schedule for today? You know, I like to create that flow of my schedule. What are the things that I have, you know, with other people, appointments? I had this on the schedule today, 12 o'clock. I had to talk to Tim. You know, but what other things that are important today based now on the present moment, on my this emergence of centeredness and intentionality that emerges out of that centeredness? So what's my schedule for today, that clarity and focus? And lastly, what's inspiring right now? We started with gratitude, and then what's inspiring that came through that process in the moment? Is my vision inspiring? Is a relationship, a conversation inspiring? Something that I heard recently? Or my own effort to have this vision? You know, there's something, my vision is inspiring, you know, and then celebrating that inspiration. And then it's also good, you know, I'm outlining right here this extended intentionality process. And so we start with this inner practice, but as we move into gratitude, vision, goals, reflection, priorities, my schedule for the day and inspiration, I very much encourage doing this in a journal with writing it down. When you write it down, it becomes more powerful. And so then we're also mirroring that map that we started with from removing, starting with the right brain, right? That visionary creative place of pure sound, pure connection with breath and sound. That's that visionary, meditative, creative, imaginative state of being that we're invoking. We're inviting all of the value and the nourishment from that state of consciousness. And then we connect with our gratitude, which is also connected with that state. We see the things in the world that are beautiful, that we appreciate. And then vision is still in that visionary, creative, and imaginative state. What's my vision for the future that I want to create? And then we start to shift and translate that expansive state of being into the left brain, into the structure and form of I'm here in a physical body and I live and I have to operate with other people and I have to use language and I have to make my way through this world. So we have to have goals that translate to action in the world. And then reflecting on this past week, we can learn from our experiences, our actions. How did I do? What do I want to celebrate? What do I want to refine and shift so that we can continue to be engaged with our priorities and stay focused? Another reason that we have emotional stress is, you know, overwhelm and distraction. It's huge in this modern, complex, fast-paced world. So this whole process helps us to really stay focused on the things that are going to allow us and empower us to feel that we have choice and authorship in our life, that we're actually writing the script of our own life each and every day. So one more thought, but I want to take a deep breath because that's a lot of information. Yeah, so just the simple, if we break it down, the first step is the centering practice of humming and the vowel sounds, getting in touch with our hearts. And then from there, we can open our eyes and start to do a little bit of journaling around, what am I grateful for? What's my vision? What are my goals? What did I do this last week? What do I want to do this week? And what are my priorities for today? And what inspires me? So we can do all that in a journal. And then these elements, the last thing, the third part that I want to offer is the element of support and accountability, which is having other people in our life who support us to create that authorship, that empowerment, which creates a structure of emotional strength and resilience, right? Being proactive as opposed to waiting for the anxiety and depression to come get us. We're proactively developing and strengthening our emotional resilience through having support structures and accountability. So that, you know, if we fall off the trail or our path, someone's there to say, hey, let's remember what really is helpful. And I offer, these mastermind circles that go through this process. And I'm sure Tim offers groups, and, you know, this whole seminar is one of those kinds of support and accountability structures. So just wanted to end with that. I mean, there's more theory to talk about, but that's really the whole arc of the practice part.
Thank you for sharing all that, Lev. And yes, I quite agree with you. It's one thing to get all the theory and then the practice, but it so often falls by the wayside unless we have that some sort of thing that has us doing this week to week and month to month and continuing on in that way. So one of the things I've always admired about your work, Lev, is the way that you go from sometimes very, very broad sweeping theories, but you focus them into very comprehensive and simple practices. I think it's what makes your work so powerful.
Mm. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes. It's important. I that's just my natural tendency to, you know, see the big picture and how we're all connected. And then, you know, that's been the challenge and the blessing of, you know, finding sound and other practices is that it grounds it in the real world for how we can make a difference.
Yeah. And always it's if one can have the presence of mind to do that, when facing an emotional challenge, two things that you mentioned there at the end, actually throughout, but gratitude and service. It doesn't necessarily make logical sense, but there's no faster way out of one's internal funk than gratitude and service.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, what is the function of those two? It brings us out of ourselves. Gratitude, first of all, it balances our mindset. When we're in an emotionally challenged state, everything sucks, basically, right?
Yeah.
Life sucks. Life just sucks. Everything. You could look at anything. You could look at chocolate cake or whatever. It sucks.
Right. What's wrong? Everything.
Yeah, everything's wrong. It's nothing, right?
Right.
We're all going to hell in a handbasket. But gratitude's like, well, actually, this water, if I didn't have it, it would suck a lot more, you know? And then the same with service, you know, right? We're in a hard place. Everything sucks. But then all of a sudden you start thinking about the clients that you have and their issues and how can I be supportive? You start thinking about, you know, the floods in Houston and Florida and say, wow, like my heart goes out to those people. You know, how can I be helping, you know? Mm. And then that changes our state, and then we become more empowered because we connect to that DNA kind of experience of our purposefulness of service, that we're here to be a human family, and that we're wired for that human family, and we're here to say thank you for everything that we have, and then to take care of everything. That's it. That's the whole shtick, as far as I see it.
So, Lev, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your practice today. And if people want to learn more about your work, where should they go?
Well, there's the first place, the work that's really exciting for me right now, and in January it'll still be developing in a really beautiful way, the soundleadershipnetwork.com. All one word, soundleadershipnetwork.com. And that will introduce you to really this framework of using this process both individually, like I said, centering gratitude, vision, goals, reflection, priorities, inspiration, support, accountability. Doing that for yourself, but then also having the opportunity to do it in community, in a mastermind community that we meet once a week, and we use this process as the core skeleton of many other kinds of practices that we do in order to really do everything I've been talking about, connect to our purpose and really a sense of leadership that we each are leaders in this world to show up and do what we need to do right now, because it's such an incredibly powerful time where we need to come together and support each other. So that's the focus of that Sound Leadership Network. And then more broadly, I also have a website called themedicinetree.com, where for my private work and work with organizations and sound therapy work as well.
Beautiful. So again, Lev, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all this with you. It's an impressive body of work. You always leave me with things to think about.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Tim. And again, yeah, it's really, I really, you know, respect what you're doing so much and the integrity with which you do it and the thoughtfulness, the way that you put together these substantial programs. It's really an honor and a privilege to be a part of it. And so again, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this. It really felt good to share with you and to be in conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Lev.
Okay. Goodbye.
Well, what an amazing interview from Lev, centering with sound and attention. So let me hit some of the high points here. Lev started off by giving us the background of where he was coming from. What are emotional challenges, first of all? And Lev defines this as the emotional stress and anxiety and sadness that we have is actually a function of feeling powerless and hopeless in the face of changes, whether that's needing to change ourselves or being forced to by our environment to change, and that this then turbulence is how we adapt. Of how we adapt the changes is what creates that emotional stress, anxiety, and sadness. So the key for Lev is to get us into the driver's seat, to be empowered to respond. Lev thinks of this as a river. If we're tight and we're scared, it's going to be really hard to respond going down the river. But if we're relaxed enough to be present, we have a much better chance. And he talked about this ideal of being both relaxed and alert in the present moment. It's that kind of ideal of mastery. So he also talked about the importance of embodied intelligence. And sharing that we've actually kind of moved away from this in our culture, that we're more of a visual, intellectual culture. And so we get away, from the present moment, that experience of life, especially in urban areas, that we can see in not specifically sports, but like in really good martial artists, that ability to just process information very quickly, but in a very relaxed sense. So, that contributes to this sense of powerlessness and hopelessness and becomes embedded in our psyche. So, for Lev, the core of happiness is that we get to choose what we do as individual, what we do in terms of our contribution to a community, what we do in terms of service, that this is for Lev says where we get empowerment and confidence, and that these things then connect to our life purpose. And that has a ripple effect through our entire life in all directions, our relationships, our work, our livelihood aligned with our values. And then emotional challenges tend to work themselves out. Because the desire to do our life purpose then takes on these emotional challenges and makes us more resilient. So for Lev, empowerment is being the author of our own life and creating a feedback loop that strengthens us versus atrophy. When we feel that, geez, there's just nothing I can do, then that ability to be resilient atrophies. he also shared this distinction between the left cognitive brain and the right brain in a more meditative state, about not simply deciding which is dominant but rather how we can work these together. So for Lev, centering really is coherence, getting these working together. and so that's the intent behind the practice of what he shared with us. He talked about the book, The Humming Effect, by Goldman and Goldman, and focusing on not just humming, but also intoning vowel sounds. And as Lev points out, when we do this, the spectrum of our choice expands. We have more possibilities for well-being. So and this wonderful point he raised, if people don't hear you, listen more, especially to oneself. There's the secret is in the irony there. So he shared this practice with us of both humming and vowel sounds. And the idea then is to start to bring that right brain practice into our left brain awareness. So the humming is the alignment with our heart. And then when we open our eyes, maybe that's a good chance to journal. For gratitude, about goals, about the priorities that we want to do today, about what inspires us. And then the third thing he stressed was having some way to, a combination of being accountable and having a support network. So it's easy for things to fall by the wayside when we do them in isolation. But when we're working with others, we have some incentive to follow that discipline. So Lev shared very strongly that we each are leaders. And for more information on his work, you can either check in with him at the Sound Leadership Network or at the Medicine Tree at medicinetree.com. So a wonderful practice. I'm sure this is a recording that people will be listening to and humming and toning along with for quite some time. I'm really glad Lev could join us, and I'm glad you could join us as well. For now, take care. Goodbye.